I am heartened by the fact that we have such a strong friend, a friend with whom we share values.
Last week, the 36-year-old president of Georgia, the former Soviet Republic, met with President Bush in the Oval Office. For Mikhail Saakashvili, it was a crowning occasion, a high-profile opportunity to affirm Georgia's role in the coalition against terror, the high priority he attaches to democracy, freedom of speech, free enterprise, and friendship with America.
It's a great honor for me and for the people of Georgia to be here.
This was a White House photo opportunity for Georgian and American journalists, and when it came time for the first question, President Saakashvili experienced the fate of visiting foreign leaders, especially those from small countries. Question number one was for President Bush from an American, and it wasn't about aid for Georgia or anything about Georgia.
Chair Greenspan today suggested trimming Social Security benefits for baby boomers.
Eventually, President Bush got to speak in praise of the Rose Revolution, the peaceful street protests that Saakashvili led. They drove Georgia's longtime president from office, Eduard Shevardnadze, a man reviled by Georgians for cronyism, corruption, and misrule. President Saakashvili marks a break with Georgia's Soviet past. Educated in Ukraine and then at Columbia University, he was a lawyer at a New York City firm for a while, and his key ministers have similar American educational backgrounds. They are devoutly Western, a faith proclaimed by the new flag that Mikhail Saakashvili adopted and that flew over Pennsylvania Avenue last week, white divided into quadrants by a maroon cross, and in each quadrant, a cross.
It's a beautiful flag. It reflects our traditions. It's based on Christian symbolics, but at this point, I don't attach to it only religious importance. It has some symbolic traditional value for Georgians. It also clearly underlines our European identity, and Georgia belongs to Europe. You know, the tradition we introduce right now is something that you have here in the U.S. We will raise the flag every day at our public schools, and the children will salute to the national anthem. And this is all part of democracy and also of nation building. And I think there are many things we should learn from the founding fathers, and I think that's what we are doing.
You mean from the founding fathers of the United States?
Absolutely. I believe that the influence of the U.S. in that region and in any other region of the world, it's not the influence connected with the military, although they played an important role, but it's influence mainly connected with the values that the U.S. has to preach everywhere. And that's what's changed the course of our history as well.
I'm just curious, what will students study in Georgia? Will they study English, for example? Will they still learn Russian? What's the next generation of Georgians going to
well,
speak?
Well, the market is going to dictate all of that, and more and more people are speaking English. We don't want to lose Russian as a second language after Georgian. It has very little. It has nothing in common with Georgian. But under the Soviet government, it was a second language which was basically spoken by almost everybody. And we want to keep this language because Russia is still our biggest trading partner. It's a big market. There is also a huge potential for expansion of our exports to Russia, and I think we shouldn't lose that connection. Now, English is a universal language, and there's also a change of things, you know, because the role that the U.S. played in Georgia for the last 10 years, the U.S. came in when we had the biggest trouble, where Georgia was disintegrating, we had bloody civil wars, people were basically starving. And the U.S. came in and helped us exactly the same way that the U.S. have helped Western European nations immediately after the Second World War.
You have led a change of regime in Georgia. And that means you face a problem that lots of people face when they lead a new regime, which is what to do with the people from the old regime. In terms of the former president, Mr. Shevardnadze, you've guaranteed him immunity from prosecution.
Well, the president is not above the law. And what I said was that I don't think that he should be prosecuted criminal, although he bears his moral responsibility for what had happened, for this rampant corruption, impoverishment of the people, the loss of opportunities and everything. But what I said, that I'm even ready to submit the law to the parliament, giving him more immunity.
So you hope that the legislature would approve an extension of immunity.
Absolutely.
But it's possible that Mr. Shevardnadze, if that bill is not approved, could be prosecuted. What about others from his inner circle, his family?
That's exactly the problem, because we had a number of important ministers arrested, including the Minister of Transportation, the Minister of Energy. So basically, all those peoples point at Shevardnadze. They say, it's not our fault. Mm-hmm. It's him who gave us all these tasks to destroy the economy, to take bribes. We shared part of this process with him and his family. On the other hand, we understand that in most of the post-Soviet space, succession is a big problem. And presidents usually do not like to quit their position. So it's also people from other countries of opposition that are telling us, please, don't touch Shevardnadze, because then our presidents will resist till the end and they will never quit.
How do you supplant that tradition, virtually, of corruption in government with a different tradition that is not corrupt?
Well, first of all, we never had such a good team. I mean, it's really the group of Western-educated, mostly U.S.-educated professionals that are idealistic, that are committed to the reform. And we never had this before, so it's not about having past experience of having good people that spoiled later. It's about having bad people that never improved, basically, and they were bad from the very start.
You're a very interesting group of people. You are still in your 30s. Several of your ministers are. You were educated in part at Columbia University, another at Harvard, another at Princeton. Many of them worked with George Soros. What are the ideas that hold this group together? And what's
this is the idea to make this nation more modern, open. People we have, like our defense minister, is a graduate of the University of Texas and the Harvard Government School. The other guy is from my main economic advisor is from Berkeley, and he was working for a major investment fund here in the U.S. We have people who have degrees from other Ivy League schools. And after all, one of the things that also unite them is this U.S. education, mm-hmm. which is one of the most important, it's not the least of the issues, and this is something which you don't see in any other former Soviet countries.
Mr. President, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
President Mikhail Saakashvili, who is the President of the Republic of Georgia, he spoke with us last week here in Washington, D.C.